Procedure when you go to a free car wash is you better plan on washing it again. But these kids did such a magnificent job. Just, I didn't have to wash the whole thing, only about half again. That was great. It was awesome. All right. How many dads are here? Raise your hand. Proud. Tall and proud. There you go. Good job, dads. It's awesome. Somebody, I was talking to, one of the ladies, and a guy came up and said, we said, Happy Father's Day, and he said, yeah, well, wouldn't mean anything if it weren't for people like her. I said, well, that's probably true, but Mother's Day is just the same, only reverse, so I don't know. It gets a little convoluted if we should just have Happy Day, you know? Don't worry about Happy Father, just Happy Day. We'll just have Happy Day. Okay, anyway, enough of that. We are in the third week of a series on the book of 1 John. We're on mission here to explore what this book is really all about. And really the essence of the book of 1 John has to do with how to really live as a true Christian, what a real Christian looks like, to walk away from pretense and hypocrisy, just to really see what it looks like to be a true believer when we compare our lives to the words of God. So we're going to start out reading the same passage of Scripture we started with last week. We didn't make much progress last week. We just didn't get there. But we're going to kind of get a little deeper into what we talked about. So in 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10, you can turn there, you can look up here on the screen. It says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his son cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word of God. Thank you that you have given us your thoughts and your plan for us in written form. God, I pray that as we look at it today, that you would open it up to us, open our hearts to receive it, open our minds to believe it. God, I pray that even though this passage may even be familiar to a lot of us, that we would see new truth, new revelation, and that you would really show us how we should live our lives as a result of knowing this truth. We thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name, amen. One of the best things I love about serving God, being a part of the work of God, is that the life that we see ourselves at right now won't be the same, hopefully, in the near future, in a day or two or a week or two. There's always this transformative process that's happening. It's such an amazing thing to see the lives of people that we have known for years drastically transformed. We did a wedding yesterday, and lives of people who have been drastically transformed by the power of God. It's so amazing to watch that happen and to see that go on. And that happens as we submit ourselves to the process, as we give ourselves over to this life-changing force of the Holy Spirit beckoning us to walk more and more in the light of what we know, the light of the truth of the Word of God. And it's such an amazing, powerful force that works within us that it's hard to walk with God and not change. It really is. Unless we choose an alternative route, which is hypocrisy. Unless we choose a path that says, I can fake it and I can blend in with the crowd I'm with and then I'll be okay. And this is a disastrous course to take. It causes all kinds of trouble and it halts the process of actual transformation and growth. We need to look at what we're talking about today through this passage of Scripture and look at it through the light of what does God want to do with me, with my life? What does he really want me to do with the stuff that I've got going? How does he want me to think? How does he want me to act? How does he want me to relate to people? What am I supposed to do now that I'm a believer? in this passage, there are five ifs, five big ifs. Two of them are positive. Three are probably negative or could be construed as negative. They're really false claims that we could make as a result of being Christians. And unfortunately, as we the longer we walk with Christ, the more we understand how we should look. And as a result of knowing how we should look, we might take two paths from there. One is we could actually change and be the people that he wants us to be, or we can pretend we're the people he wants us to be and never really become real Christians, real solid, life-transformed believers in Jesus. And that's, it's a tragedy, but it happens over and over again. And I believe these four, the five verses we're going to look at have this element tied to them that you can say these negative false claims. You could do them if you want to and say, hey, no, I'm good. I don't have any sin. I don't need to really work on stuff. I'm good the way I am. And you can do that and become a false Christian, not in terms of you lost your salvation, but you could become a Christian in word only without having the action that backs that up. Or you could do the other two ifs that he talks about, and then we can become real believers where there's solid change that happens from the inside coming out, and we manifest the life that Jesus wants us to manifest. We'll get into this as we get a little bit further on. What does it mean? We're going to talk about these pretty much in just the order they're in. In verse 6, it says, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. What does it mean to walk in darkness? What does that look like? Does that mean if I commit one sin, I'm in darkness? Does it mean if I don't quite hit the mark on everything I do in my life, am I living in darkness? What does it mean? Well, here's what it doesn't mean. One is it's not a matter of our personal taste or appearance or our lifestyle habits or whatever. You know, it's not like, well, oh, you went to an R-rated movie. You obviously are not a Christian. Oh, you listen to that kind of music. Oh, you dress like that. You've got a tattoo. Where? Those kinds of things. Sorry, slipped. I would tell you this, though. I knew a guy. He was a Navy guy. And, you know, he got the tattoo on his first big outing that he had. And he got a bunny rabbit right on his belly button. And the belly button was the south end of the bunny. Okay? And so as this man, he was a young man when that happened, and he was quite fit. Well, as this man got older, he became less and less fit, and that bunny got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I made the mistake one time of asking him to show me his tattoo. It's an image that I will not soon erase from my memory. So anyway, it's not about that. Does he walk in darkness because he has a bunny on his belly? No, he doesn't walk in darkness because of that. There's all kinds of things that we have attached in the church to darkness that is not necessarily darkness. We do all kinds of outward stuff and say, oh, that's darkness, that's darkness. It's not necessarily the case. It's not about struggling even. Some people say, I must be doing something wrong because my life is not going smoothly. As if God promises every believer that their life will always be smooth. That's not true. He doesn't promise us that we'll never have troubles. He doesn't promise us we'll never get sick. He doesn't promise us that all of our relationships will be great. He never promises. He doesn't promise us financial provision to the ultimate degree. He doesn't promise any of that stuff. And so some of us will retreat back and say, oh man, I got to start lining up my life. I must be in darkness because I'm struggling. That's not the case. People who acknowledge their brokenness, who agree with God that sin is sin, and repent of it when they fall, are not walking in darkness. All right? This is not what John is talking about. What he really is talking about is walking in darkness and claiming that you're not walking in darkness. It's this idea of hypocrisy. It's this thought of saying, no, I'm really in the light. I'm really living in the light. But the times that you spend without anybody looking in on your life don't represent that at all. And we have to be very, very cautious as believers because we know how we're supposed to look and act and talk and feel and all that stuff. And if we're not careful, all of those outward things, we subject ourselves to this outward constraint and try to make it look like we're all good. But inside our hearts, we're corrupt. Inside our hearts, we're lying even to ourselves about who we really are and what our life is really all about. We reserve the right to hate those whom God has told us to love. We continue in a lifestyle of sin, willing rebellion to God's laws and precepts and principles. We claim that He has no right to change us. We claim to be in fellowship, but we reserve the right to rebel. This is not walking in light. This is walking in darkness. It's this inner life more than the outward. It's this idea of what is your brain really processing? What is your heart really feeling? What goes on inside, regardless of what comes out of your mouth? What is going on that really, it's the inner stuff that causes us to walk in light or in darkness. Many people who go to church actually walk in darkness. I'm not saying they're not saved, but we walk in darkness sometimes, even going to church. Perhaps you want to experience the love of Christ, the thing you feel when you walk through the doors. Maybe you like the music. Maybe you like the contacting with people and all that kind of stuff. But maybe privately, you, in retrospect, you know, like, well, I bet those people are really not like that. Or I think... And you start making judgments on the stuff that happens or the people that are there. And all the while saying, I like to go to church, but it's the people. That's really a symptom of walking in darkness. Those types of things where we're living one way, but yet our brains and our hearts are going in a whole different direction. Romans 13:12 says this, the night is far gone, the day is at hand, so let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If we're going to be believers, if we're going to be Christ followers, let's be Christ followers all the way to the most minuscule part of our hearts. Let's live in light. Let's walk in light. Let's represent Him well. Let's take the attributes of Jesus Christ that He demonstrated while He was on this earth and really live them out. No pretending. No putting on masks. No acting one way, but really thinking a whole different way. Let's just be real people. Now, one of the comments that I have heard recently about this church in particular is, and it repeats, and I've heard it several times, is that I love the way this church is so real. And I think that's a great thing. I think it's a good thing to be real, even though real is messy and real is kind of dirty sometimes. Real doesn't feel good sometimes. But being real, it is better than walking in darkness pretending that we're walking in light. Amen. It's easier to be a hypocrite than it is to be real, because being real costs you something. It's painful at times because it means that we have to come out with stuff that we'd rather hide away. And I think people appreciate transparency, authenticism, and reality in people's lives better than they appreciate the idea that I'm pretending I'm this, but, you know, all the while I'm totally something else. The church of God should be a representation of this walking in light. And again, walking in light doesn't mean you're sin-free. Walking in light means you acknowledge the rule and reign of God in your life, and to the best of your abilities, you are following after those things. How many times has sin cost us because we hid the sin, never acknowledged the sin, and eventually it swallows us up? How many times has it cost us? And how many more times is it going to cost us before we understand we cannot live like this? We must walk in the light. We must deal with those things that we're feeling and thinking rather than hiding the things we're feeling and thinking they'll just go away sometime. Or if I don't ever let anybody know, I'll be okay. It's not real. It's not true. That's a deceptive tactic of the enemy. Understand that sin will find you out, and it will cost you and everybody around us. So we must be quick to recognize and quick to walk into the light in the areas that we are currently walking in darkness. In John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus spoke, said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." If we follow after Jesus, it is not a life of light and dark. It is a light of life. Life of light. It is this life where we're walking in the light that he gives us. We're not walking in kind of a grayish, foggy day type of lifestyle. Could be this, could be that, I don't know. No, we're walking in light. It's who he is. It's what he desires of us. It's what he empowers us to do. We don't want to walk in the darkness while all the while claiming to be in the light. Let's just agree with him. Let's say, yeah, if I am light like he claims I am, let's just agree with him and say, that's the way I want to walk. Darkness sickens me. When I walk in darkness, it makes me ill. It's like, oh, man, that's a horrible thing to want to live in darkness, to act out principles and practices of darkness when I know I'm not darkness, I'm light. It must change in the way that we think, the things that we pursue, we must change to say, I'm not a child of the darkness. I'm a child of light. You know, in the past, the church and maybe even in your parenting heritage and all that kind of stuff, it has been, I will impose external controls on you until you get it right. Right? When you're parenting, sometimes it's like that. And I'm not saying don't do that. When they're three, they need some external controls. Yeah, yeah. But as we grow up, we have to realize external controls only control to a certain extent. And then it just becomes a forced behavior where there's no heart change. There's no light. And so the goal in parenting, the goal in church even, is the same. The heart change has to occur. We have to begin to change from the inside out so that our behavior will follow suit. If, as a church, we say, oh, here's the rules, okay? No jeans in church, no body piercings here and there, and none of these kind of tattoos, and you can't have this lifestyle, and you better not say these words, and if you listen to that music, oh boy, you're in terrible trouble. In the past, the church has done that, hasn't it? And what kind of heart change has that created? Nothing. All it does is it puts us under this cloud of darkness saying, oh man, if I don't behave properly, I'm out of here. What a gruesome way to live. John approaches it from a whole different way. He says, hey, walk in light. That's your answer. Let your heart change to desire the light. Let your heart change so that the light becomes more appealing than darkness. And then when darkness does show up, you go, what in the world? That doesn't belong in me. I'm light. I don't walk in darkness. If we walk in darkness, are we really representing Christ? No, not at all. And so let's walk in light. In verse 8, he says this. Well, just a second, let me go back to it. If we walk in the light, in verse 7, here's the counteractive measures we can take. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from sin. We can force the light action, or the action of light in our lives from the outside in, or we can just say, let's just walk in light as he's in the light, and let his blood cleanse us from all sin. Working inside out. That the work has been done by Jesus Christ for you to act, think, and behave in such a way that is God-honoring and is true to light. He did that work. We have to walk in the light and allow that work to take full effect in us. That's the cause of Christ. That's what he died for, is so that we could be purified from our sin and walk in that purity as he is pure. Not to force a bunch of rules on us and say, you better or else, and if you don't, you're bad. Doesn't do any good. But we walk in the light as he's in the light, and his blood cleanses us from the inside out. Okay, verse 8. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim to be without sin, now, I don't know. I look at that and say, there is probably no way in the world I'd ever say, no, don't have any sin. I mean, obviously, I do, right? I'm standing up here talking. There's probably not very long that I could go without you saying, oh, oops, you know, that kind of stuff. You can't just say, oh, I don't have any sin. I'm just that good. And that's ludicrous. So I read that and I think, really? Would anybody ever really say, oh, I don't have any sin? I don't know if we ever say, well, I don't have any sin, but I do know that we would say, that's not a sin that I have a problem with. Or, I'm not sinning right now. Or, no, I've been good, and I don't have the sin you're referring to. I think that's probably a possibility. And also, we get to a place where we can deceive ourselves in saying, what I'm doing currently is not a sin. I'm okay because I can justify it. People who acknowledge brokenness are in much better shape than people who say, no sin here, no sin here. And when we start claiming that, that is when hypocrisy starts creeping in. Contemporary manifestations of this I don't have any sin thing might look like this. The metaphysical view would be, I don't believe in sin, period. You know, I just don't believe in it. It's all one thing or another. It's not sin, good, bad, evil, just. Doesn't really matter. It's all good. I don't know about that. Another one might be, I don't have any sin. I'm living right now. There is no sin problem in my life. Another one might be, I'm not really responsible for my sin. It's not my fault. And out of those three, I think that one's probably the most prominent. I'm not responsible. And we would never come out too often, I guess, and say, I'm not responsible for the sin you see right now. But through a bunch of backdoor methods, we find ways to make that claim. Here's some tactics we might employ to escape responsibility. One is we just flat out lie. We can flat out lie. We can lie to God. We can lie to our spouses. We can lie to our friends, to our children, to our parents. We can lie to just about anybody. Oh, no, no. I'm good. No. I'm not. No, you got it all wrong here. One could be denying. Once accusations start coming at you, how do you respond to those? Do you readily acknowledge and repent, or is it resistance and denial? Oh, no, you're wrong. You are dead wrong on this one. Another one could be avoidance, where as long as we keep a lot of stuff happening and keep fleeing from getting pinned down in where we are, then I can avoid actually taking responsibility for my sin. Another one could be blame shifting, where, yeah, I may have done that, but it's your fault. This is the funnest one, because if you get into that game, it is really an endless cycle, because the blame is always going everywhere besides where it should go, which is right here. Things would have been different if you had different parents or a different spouse or a better education. If I would have just had a break or two, things would be different for me. So as a result of that, I just can't help from being lazy or resentful or self-indulgent. It's just not my fault, you see. It was the people around me. They did this to me. If my wife only would have been more loving, if my husband would have only been more encouraging, if my boss would have been just a little nicer to me, if they would only recognize my potential, and now it's everybody's fault but mine. And not everything bad that happens in your life is your fault. But we do need to recognize when it is and fully accept responsibility. We can't continue to run away from our responsibility. Kids who shoot their classmates blame the bullies of their class. Overweight people blame fast food restaurants. Criminals blame their parents. Terrorists justify their barbaric action by saying they're only doing the will of God. Cancer patients blame cigarette manufacturers. Where does that all end? Never coming to the point of saying, actually, I'm walking in darkness. I'm living a life that I should not be living, and I accept full responsibility. And this is not a move that we really want to embrace, because it puts it right back on us. It shines the spotlight of God's light into the darkness in our hearts, and sometimes that hurts. But we must at some point accept that responsibility that I am living in darkness and I must change. If we say we have no sin, we are lying to God and to ourselves and to others around us. We blame our doctors, our teachers, our employers, our government. We even blame God. We blame him for our personality type, for the circumstances we've encountered. John says we're responsible for the choices we make. No one forces you to do the things you do. You're responsible. Now, in certain situations, you know, when you're definitely in a subservient role, you might be forced into certain things that you are not responsible for. So there are certain occasions where this is not an absolute. But for the most part, we are responsible for the actions that we choose. So we have to determine that that is our role to accept. So the great news is in the next verse, okay? Verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is a wonderful promise. This is an amazing promise. So that when we're walking in darkness and we know what light is and we know what way we need to go to walk in the light, the first step for us is to stop and say, God, it was me. I did this. I am walking in darkness. I need to change. Would you please work in my life? The Greek word for confess means to say the same thing or to agree with. So what we're doing when we're confessing is agreeing with God that our actions are darkness and we need to walk in light. Our actions are flawed. They're sinful and we need to just agree with God. Say, God, I understand my sinful actions and I agree with you that I am wrong. Would you please help me to walk in a different way? That's all confession is. And sometimes it's so painful to come to the place where we say, it was me, it was my fault, I need to change, instead of saying, no, it was them. But we need to do that so that the promise of this contingency will take place. He says, if we confess, there's the if, he is faithful, he is just, he will forgive us of our sins, and he will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. If you want God to create in you a person of righteousness, a person of justice, a person who walks in light, then you need to come and we need to come to a place of saying, I agree with you that my lifestyle does not line up and I am living in sin in this area. Would you please help me? It says God's faithful. He's just. He'll purify you. He'll cleanse your heart. He'll create light in you. He'll put the darkness out and he'll say, you are now walking in light in one more area. Good job. He's faithful. He's just. He does that. The alternative is not so pretty. The alternative is to say, darkness? No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm all good. Why do you keep pestering me about this? Leave me alone. I'm fine. Really? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Happy Father's Day. This is so good. I may be a little bit extra juiced this morning. I got into my office, and about 7 o'clock, my daughter comes in with a plate of wonderful, caramely, nutty, sticky buns. Oh my gosh. You have to eat them, you know. They're sitting there, so you eat those. And then in our little huddle before the church service, in comes a chocolate cake. Like, whoa, this is good stuff. So I'm a little extra sugared this morning, so you gotta forgive me. It's not my fault, it's all their fault. They forced me to eat it. They did. I did. I certainly did. You know, many people, and probably to some extent, most of us, if not all of us, wear masks of some sort. We do. We wear masks. We allow people to see the parts of us that we feel they will approve of, that will be presentable. And then we put masks over the other parts that we just don't think people will accept us in. And so we wear these masks and we feel like that will make us more desirable or more acceptable to other people. And it's really sad that we will do that, because whenever we start doing that, we become a little bit more dark every time. A little bit more darkness creeps into our life whenever we put the mask back on. And so in doing all these actions of lying and denying and avoiding and blame shifting, we put on darkness by doing those things. We must realize that if we're going to walk in the light, we got to take the masks off. We got to get rid of that and say, man, you know what? Here's me. This is me. And I've got warts and pimples and all that kind of stuff, but it's me. And if that's not good enough for you, too bad, because that's who I am. But I plan on not staying here. I plan on going through this transformative process that God has for me, and I plan on changing. And I will submit my life to the one who created me to become more than what I am right now. And I will give my life over to him so I can shed darkness. Just keep walking away from darkness. And so light just keeps getting brighter and brighter. I read this scripture last week in Proverbs 4:18. It says, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining brighter and brighter to the full light of day. That's you. That's me. We're walking out of darkness and we're walking into light. And we become light more and more as we submit ourselves to the process of God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He goes into this next verse and he says, if we claim that we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar and his word has no place in us. Man, I don't want to be that person that says, no, I'm good, I'm good. So who's the liar? Is it me or is it God? Oh, no, I'm good. No, really, no, you don't have to worry about it. I'm fine. Am I the liar? Yeah, I'm the liar. I can't do that. I can't put God in a place of being a liar. It's not true. It can't be true of God. He doesn't know untruth. Now, we have to get this right. In Isaiah 1:18, it says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. The stain and sin of our lives can be wiped out. It can be made, we can be made new by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. He took all of that sin in our lives upon him on the cross. He took it all with him. And past, present, future, he took our sins. So why should we hide it like we don't have any? Oh, no, I don't need the blood of Jesus. Really? Do you really want to put yourself in that position? Do you really want to claim you don't have any sin, you have no need for Jesus Christ in your life? No, I don't have that deal in my, no, I'm fine. No, really, my thought life, no, it's good. Pornography, no, I don't do pornography. No, anger, no, I don't have that issue. Addictions, no, not me. Really? You have no need for the blood of Christ in your life. Seriously? Why would we do that? Why would we take this amazing sacrifice and just shun it? Why would we do that? the love and the mercy that God has shown by this tremendous, this beyond our comprehension kind of sacrifice, that has been done for us, and we would say no thank you? Wow, that's the totally opposite wrong reaction. It should be, oh my, are you kidding me? I totally want that. I totally need that. I need every bit of that I can grab. Man, I need the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. I need that so badly. I confess my sin. I repent of my sin. God, I need you now. Your sacrifice, your blood covers it all. We sang that song, Man of Sorrows. It talks about that. The blood that he spilled was for you and it was for me, for every part of our lives, for every sin we've ever committed, for every sin that we've ever thought of committing. He covered that. So why would we say I'm okay when we're not? It doesn't make any sense. Now, God forgives us for sure, and this is such a wonderful provision that he offers us. Just to make this a little bit more real, even though we're forgiven, there still may be consequences. He does not wipe out consequences very often. I've not seen it happen in me very often. Usually the result of my sin has to be paid for. He's paid for my sin, but my consequences, the natural outworking of that, I pay for. There may still be a relationship to rebuild. There may still be jail time to serve. There may still be a baby to raise. There may still be physical effects of what we have to live with, like liver problems if you've been drinking alcohol in abundance for years and years and years. There may still be consequences. He won't wipe that stuff out. But you're walking in light. And that alone should be enough to say, I'll take the consequences of my sin. I'm responsible anyway. I need to bear the weight of that. I'll let him take the sin issue off of me. The spiritual side, my righteousness is not affected. My lifestyle and my life habits might be affected. But all the rest of that stuff, he's already dealt with. And so I'm going to let him do that work. It's not a free pass completely. It's a free pass with God, but not with one another. We still have to do some work here. So, after all that, here's three basic conclusions, I think, that we can come down to. One is, this is a warning to smug and arrogant people. We must remove our masks. We must remove our masks. If you're feeling better than everybody else, you're deceived. You don't understand the nature or the depth of your sin. You're most likely hiding behind a mask. You are living in a fantasy world. You think you're better than others, but you're not. If you're smug and arrogant about your spiritual state, take heed. There's a warning, great warning for you. Don't do that, because you're putting yourselves on this pedestal that is going to crumble and you're going to go down. You can't be a true follower of Christ until you admit your own sinful heart. The real deal disciple has a mask that has to come off. The real deal disciple has stopped pretending. The real deal disciple stopped making excuses and blaming others. The real deal disciple understands the need for God's forgiveness. This is so important for us. The second conclusion is, and this is a message to broken people, which probably is just about everybody in the room. Dare to trust in the promises of God. Would you dare to trust in the promises of God? You may feel distant from God today. You are probably feeling hurt, maybe deep down, some things that have occurred in your life, and there's some deep, deep hurts. You've seen the hurt you've caused. You're in mourning over those kinds of actions, the darkness in your soul. You may feel like, I hear this deceptive thing repeated too. Oh, I could never go to church because of the things that I've done. I could never be accepted by God because I'm so bad. It's just deception of the enemy. It is total deception. If you have hurt people, if you've been hurt by people, it makes you human. It makes you part of this human race. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all been hurt by others' sin. We have. And I don't want to minimize that. I don't want to say just get over it, because it's not just a get over it thing. But here's the truth and the promise of God is that you walking in light will release the darkness that you've been holding on to by clinging to the past. And you need to walk forward in light, releasing all of the darkness. Whether it's you inflicting it on other people or you receiving it from other people, you need to release that and be responsible only for yourself, saying, I am going to walk in light. I'm going to be one who is close to the Father, confessing and repenting before God and allowing Him to purge me and purify me and cleansing my heart from all unrighteousness. That's the role that we all have to play. Dare to trust in the promises of God. God will, he's faithful and he is true. He will do the things he says. He is that for all of us. And so dare to trust him. Dare to allow. I was thinking just this morning as I was praying, I thought, man, I don't deserve the life that I have. You know? You ever thought that? And not in a bad way, but in a really good way. I just say, why is my life the way it is? I deserve way less than what I've got. I deserve much worse than what I've received. The stuff that I've done, the people that I've hurt, the things that I've said, the thoughts that are in my brain, I deserve way less than the goodness of God that He's given to me. You ever thought like that? Man. I don't get that. But the truth of it is, he's so faithful, and if you honor his word, it doesn't mean you're spotless and sinless and all that. It just means you're faithful and say, God, I'm really dark, living in darkness right now. Would you make me light? Would you cleanse me of this darkness? He's just so faithful, and he does that. And as a result, he starts changing your desires and changing your heart to be more and more like him. And it's unbelievable that he'd do that. I don't get that. But I love it. I love that thing about God. He's so faithful to his people. And he puts it on us, all these if statements. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. If we allow him to purge us of dark, if we do that, he's faithful and true. It's so much harder not to. I don't know why we don't run to him more often, more frequently, more quickly when we've done something we know we shouldn't have done. Why do we pause? Why do we hesitate? He's faithful. He's true. He loves us. His mercy is new every morning. His loving faithfulness is like overwhelming at times, and you don't understand it, but why do we wait? Why do we hold back and say, oh, no, God, I can't go to you about this one. I can't do that. Why? This is Father's Day. God, the perfect Father, our heavenly Father. Would he ever come to a place where he says, you again? Out of here, pal. No, he never does that. He never would ever do that. He says, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. Come on, I'll give you rest. Come to me. I'll bear your burdens. Walk in the light. God can take the broken pieces of your life and my life and make them beautiful. He takes ashes and he turns it into beauty. He takes mourning and he turns it into joy. He takes tears and turns it into laughter. If we're quick to run to him, if we're quick to go to him, if we allow ourselves to walk in light as he is in the light, that's our God. Let's do that. Let's live like that. Let's be people that are representative of that light. The last thing, real quickly, worship team, why don't you come up here? This is a reminder to all of us here that we need to continually remember the wondrous works of God's grace. You know, a lot of times I've looked at this scripture that we looked at today in through different eyes before, and I said, aha, stop sinning. Quit it, you darkness. I've looked at it in through that lens before, and that's not the heart of John in this thing. It's not that. The heart of John in this is to say, come on, confess, repent, come back into the fold, come back to the Father. Don't live in darkness. It's bad for you. It'll hurt you. It'll eventually knock you out. Come on, live in light. And as we do that, we understand the riches of God's grace. We understand the love of the Father for us. And it's such an easy thing to embrace if we allow ourselves to do that. Just embrace the wondrous grace of God. I want you to pull out your Connect card, and I want you to I want you to be free enough to write down some of the thoughts that you may have had even during this message. That something like, eek, I need to quit doing that. Or, man, I've seen God do this when I have walked in light. I went through a time of confession and repentance and God did a miraculous restoration in me. Or, I need to go through a time of confession and repentance to allow God to do that in me. I want you to write things down, because what I feel, I know to be true, is that when we crystallize our thoughts enough to write it on paper, it becomes very, very set in our brains. Rather than just going away, that was kind of interesting. And by Tuesday, you're going, I can't remember a word he said. I don't take it personal, by the way. So anyway, do that. Would you just do that? And we're going to collect those. Worship team's going to sing this song. You can just stay seated. And if you know the song, you can sing along. But we're just going to have them sing this song. And I want you to take some time, write that stuff down, and we'll have the ushers come pick that up afterward.